He would be awful. And so would Aikman. Aikman even came out and said he could not be like the GM or the coach of that team because Jerry's too controlling. And he is. And they're trash. But I'm glad he's fired. But whatever. Bad team. What are you doing?
Welcome to the Empty Wagon Fantasy Football Podcast. Thank you, Eric, for rambling on while I tried to get this thing to record so we didn't have a mistake like we had about a month ago. But I'm back. Nope. Eric's here. Guess what, though? We still don't have all three together because Josh is having problems trying to find a clean house. That can be a problem where he lives. So
pretty messed up. But
we're here. We're going to get this through. Playoffs are starting. Your fantasy seasons are over. But like Eric is going to tell you in our New Year resolution segment, you still need to pay attention in the offseason, even if you don't like to, even if you just want to give up on football. You still need to pay attention because Josh kind of said it on the last episode. That's where he made the mistake. He won some championships, got cocky, didn't pay attention as much in the offseason, didn't do the homework, came into the drafts, came out flat, got beaten all his leagues. His one championship dynasty league that he thought he was set for life, some a-hole came in there and just took him down like a ham sandwich at a hobo convention.
At a hobo convention, that's great. Yeah, what was the final score? Do you remember the final score?
Heck no, I don't remember the final score of that, but I know I won on the back of Kenyon Drake.
Dude, that's... So what do you have, 6 touchdowns in his last 2 games? That's incredible. Good for him.
I don't know. He was really good.
So how fast do they move David Johnson now? Pretty quick, I would imagine.
Well, it's hard because he has a huge salary. So finding somebody to take that salary. And David Johnson's going to be on the move. You're going to have Le'Veon Bell probably. It looks like the Jets are going to want to move from him because it's a different GM that signed him. Adam Gase doesn't like him. It's just going to be one of those things where they're not going to like it. The final score of that game, though. Sorry, the final score of that game, I just pulled it up. 174, me, to 152, Josh.
Get wrecked, Josh. But Brad, Adam Gase and Le'Veon Bell talked about having a better 2020 together. Are you sure they're going to move him?
Well, better for them might be apart from each other, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's probably true.
We just brought up Kenyon Drake, who played under Adam Gase and did nothing for 4 years.
Right, and then he goes to Arizona and he looks like a new man. So, pretty crazy.
Ryan Tannehill, who looked like nothing. Devonta Parker, who looked like trash. A lot of these guys under Adam Gase just didn't do anything.
Yeah, he's not a good coach. Neither is Freddie Soups, who's fired now by Freddie Soups, which is a nice segue into the coaching carousel. Freddie, I guess we'll start. Freddie Soups. Freddie Kitchens.
There you go. All right, yeah, Freddie Kitchens.
That's what they call him on the Ringer. So I like
that. And Jimmy Haslam. Jimmy Haslam still there, Browns fans. I'm sorry. John Dorsey and Freddie Kitchens are out. They didn't need the kitchen sink there in the Browns organization. They're going to hire a coach before they hire a GM and let the coach be in the decision-making of the GM. It sounds weird, but it's the Browns.
I think your coach and your GM should be unified on like what the plan is. Like if they're both like, yeah, just take the best guy available. That's good because they're on the same page. If it's like the one guy's like, well, we're going to take the best guy available. The GM usually is that way. And then the coach is like, well, no, I need this guy because he plays in a 4-3 and that's what I run as a 4-3. But this is a 3-4 linebacker. I don't want him, blah, blah, blah. And they butt heads, and then they don't have the personnel, and yada, yada, yada.
Calm down, Dennis Leary.
What?
And Kevin Costner, draft day.
Okay, you relax. I have watched that movie once, and I forgot it existed until you just brought it up. Because it was stupid and ridiculous, by the way.
Okay, so what I do want to say about this, it seems weird. Usually the GM gets hired, and he's in the decision-making of the coach. But I think the Browns kind of have some ideas of who they want to bring in, Josh McDaniels and or Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, but Josh McDaniels will back out on you.
Well, he might. I think those are names. And Urban Meyer's also been kind of hinted as being in there. And I think they want to get those guys in so they can bring in their GM, like you said, to be on the exact same page. A buddy-buddy with them that they can rub shoulders with. So Freddie Kitchens being gone, what's that do for the Browns for you? Upgrade, downgrade, lateral move?
You gotta wait and see. I think Chubb is the only guy you can really hope to have a good year, even no matter what happens. After the season he put up, he had almost 1,500 yards rushing, 8 touchdowns, and another 300 yards receiving. No receiving touchdowns, but 36 receptions. He had a great year. He was a running back one. I think you can rely on him. Anybody else, they might move Kenyon Drake after he showed some flashes here and there. So I don't know.
I think you mean Kareem Hunt.
Kareem Hunt. Yes. Yeah. Not Kenyon Drake. We were talking about Kenyon Drake. That's what I meant.
Yeah. So Kareem Hunt, though, he is a restricted free agent, so they cannot trade him. I believe they may. I don't even know if they can transition tag him. I think he has to have more years under contract with him.
Unrestricted?
So pretty much, yes. So I think he's restricted. So similar to NBA and all that. Other team will make an offer. They have the option to match the offer.
Right.
I don't see him coming back. John Dorsey drafted him in Kansas City. He's the guy that brought him there. If we see John Dorsey get a job somewhere, look for Kenyon Drake. Or not Kenyon. You got me saying Kenyon Drake now. Kareem Hunt to be going somewhere. So I do think it's an upgrade for Chubb. I think it's an upgrade for Baker. I think they'll get a better offensive scheme in there. A coach that will keep Baker progressing. I don't think we saw any progression from Baker this year.
Regression. Terrible regression.
Yeah.
Especially over those last 8 games that he showed last year.
As much bad came from Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers towards the end, in the beginning, that was a good system that they put together.
Yeah, it's just they never innovated on it over however many years, and defenses were like, we know exactly what you're going to do, so figure it out, Aaron, and he usually did, but...
Well, yeah, it was a play-action rollout, Aaron, figure something out.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll see who comes in there. Now, the only place, so Washington has hired a coach, Riverboat Ron.
Can we still call him that?
Yeah, and he's bringing Black Jack Del Rio with him.
Oh, man.
So that's going to be the thing. There has been rumors that possibly he might try to snake North Turner away from Carolina as well. I don't see North Turner going back to Washington after the stuff that he went through as a head coach there.
No, I don't think
he likes the offense there or the owner. So I don't know who his offensive coordinator is going to be yet.
Nobody likes Dan Snyder. Be real.
Did you see Dan Snyder's press conference when he announced?
No.
Okay. He comes out there and he says, I'd like to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. It's January 2nd. He says this. Because the reason being is Rivera got fired on Thanksgiving weekend. So it's kind of it's a happy Thanksgiving to us because you.
Okay.
And Ron Rivera got the joke. He was laughing about it in the background. You could see it. So,
well, that's good, but still.
They have a good relationship, sure. Which I don't think John Gruden and Daniel Snyder had a good relationship. At least they have a good relationship, so we'll see how that works out. But, man, usually the Redskins are kind of a dumpster fire of personnel moves. All right. The Cowboys. Eric, are you going to celebrate?
Yeah, they're finally put out of their misery, and so am I. Terrible ass team.
All right, you're celebrating. No, yeah. I was talking about your coaching change. It's official. They finally said it. It took 3 meetings. It took a full week. And Jason Garrett ain't coming back.
That's ridiculous. I don't know why I took that. Did they get rid of Kellen Moore and Rob Marinelli too?
I don't know how everybody else is.
Kellen Moore, stuff went. Get out. Get out.
I don't see what the Cowboys, because they're going to go get a high profile guy, right? They've been, Lincoln Riley's been rumored. The Baylor coach, I believe, has been rumored. There's a lot of guys that have been rumored.
I wonder if Lincoln Riley is still that guy after that playoff game.
Yeah, because that's what Oklahoma does. That's what Oklahoma does in playoff games. Get rocked.
Choke in the playoffs?
Yeah, they get rocked.
Yeah, they didn't put up a lot of points. So
the Cowboys are, Jason Garrett's gone. We'll see what this means with the whole offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. I believe their one defensive coordinator is gone. I think he's going to get a job somewhere else.
Rashard? Rod Marinelli.
Not Marinelli. Marinelli, I don't know what's going to happen. He might stay there as defense coordinator, but Rashard, the other guy that came from Seattle.
I don't know. I mean, yeah.
He's been getting offers.
Rod Marinelli's the only good. Yeah, the defensive coordinators were the only good parts of that coaching staff, in my opinion. So, I mean, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there with the Cowboys, but they're going to get somebody. It's going to be Jerry's guy. Heck, even Jason Witten's been rumored to go there. Jay Witt, from the booth to the field to the sideline.
No, because he's been in that, like, vanilla. I mean, I don't think he would innovate. I think he's too close to it. I think he would play the same style, and that's not what they need. They need somebody to come in and innovate and use Dak and Amari, and well, if Amari's still there, and Dak if he's still there, because we'll see if they get paid. But to use guys like Zeke to their fullest potential, especially with that offensive line. So,
yeah,
because they ain't getting any younger. You know,
I was listening to Pardon the Interruption, and Tony Kornheiser came out and said he doesn't think the Cowboys are that talented. He thinks it's overhyped because of the Cowboys. He's like, Zeke is a great talent. Yeah. The offensive line has been good, but I don't think it's what it's been the last few years. Dak is good-ish.
I mean, all those guys on the offensive line got paid. They lost some depth because of it, because they couldn't afford to pay all those guys. They used to go, I think, 6 or 7 deep there with some, you know, top-end guys. And then Dak, I think, is overrated. Obviously, you saw what he did in big games this year, which wasn't much. Yeah, let's run up the score on the Redskins. Who cares? Pad your stats, get that contract, bud. But you didn't win any games that actually mattered this year. You couldn't even beat the Jets. So,
no, you couldn't. Now, Jason Garrett has been rumored at another position that just opened up as well, and that is the New York Football Giants.
I did not hear that.
So part of the reason was that they think maybe Jerry was taking longer was Jerry might have been a little scared that he's going to go to the Giants. You know, division rival, one of those things. We'll see how it goes. I don't know if Jason Garrett's going to go there, but Dave Gettleman's still the GM. He did not get fired. He saved his job. Mr. I have a plan and you don't need to know what it is and I listen to my gut is all about analytics now. He said that he's got computer people in there punching numbers. He sounded like a man who did not know what he was talking about, but hey.
He doesn't really need to know what he's talking about. He just needs to the analytics people to tell him this is the guy you should go out and get, right? So
yeah, we'll see. His gut. Okay, his gut. He listens to his gut. It's Dave Gettleman. You don't need to know the plan.
Did he draft Barkley? He drafted Barkley, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
but let's be honest, that was the easiest slam dunk in the world. You had the number 2 pick, and Baker Mayfield got taken number 1.
Wow.
People were like, are they going to take Sam Darnold? Well, please, God, no.
Not looking too good now. Barkley still had a pretty decent year, all things considered.
Oh, no, Barkley's great. He is the one good thing Gettleman's done. But other than that, there's no offensive line there. Their pass catchers are vanilla.
Yeah. No, I don't understand these
guys. They got lucky with Darius Slayton, who looks good. Daniel Jones looked pretty competent this year. He was better than Baker Mayfield, number-wise.
Yeah. I just don't know why these guys don't build from the line up. Like, if you have the number 2 pick, yeah, Saquon Barkley is probably a generational talent. But if you've got nobody to block in front of him, it doesn't matter. So trade the pick. Go get the best offensive lineman in the draft. But whatever.
And then the Panthers, they're still looking for a coach. I haven't heard a lot of rumors about who they're getting. They have a lot of interviews this week, but I don't think we'll hear anything till probably after the Super Bowl on who's taking jobs, because we still have the national championship game, and a lot of those guys, coordinators and coaches, are getting looks.
For sure. So. And I think you're going to see a lot more college coaches get hired this time around, because I don't think the league is tired of retreads, but I think they want to see
Sean McVay 2.0.
Right. Well, yeah, Sean McVay 2.0, and they want to see new offenses. They want to see more points. They want to see big plays. They want to see, you know, that kind of stuff going on. So
do you think there'll be a move? There was one other thing I want to talk about. Chan Gailey came out of retirement. He's going to be the OC for the Dolphins.
Tannehill had his best season under him. Or not Tannehill. Fitzpatrick. Fitzmagic had his best season under Chan Gailey back in the day.
Was it in Buffalo? with Stevie Johnson?
I think it was in New York. I think it was when he was a Jet, I think they said. Or I read.
I saw the best meme with Ryan Fitzpatrick. I might not win the NFC, the AFC East, but I will beat the Patriots with every team in it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. All right, lost their bye for that. That's going to hurt them.
Speaking of Ryan Fitzpatrick beating the Patriots on week 17, that knocked the Patriots down to the 3 seed. We're going to do Super Bowl picks real quick here. So, Eric, we'll start with the AFC. You have the Ravens and the Chiefs. They're both getting the bye. We have the Patriots. They'll be taking on the Titans of Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And the Texans are taking on the Buffalo Bills. Who do you have winning the AFC?
The Ravens.
The Ravens. All roads lead through the Ravens. I want to say the Ravens as well, and I am going to. I mean, the defense is really good. Lamar Jackson's been amazing, and even if he's not amazing, the defense is playing lights out.
Yeah.
And you got to go through them. You got to beat them in Baltimore.
Yep, you got to go through Baltimore, and the defense always gets to play with the lead. They get to ball hawk. They get to rush the passer because they literally make you one-dimensional. Now, if you're Patrick Mahomes, that might not matter because you have Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman, Sammy Watkins, who's going to get me a pie, by the way. Thanks, Sammy, for actually playing 12 games this season. And Travis Kelce. So, yes, that's, you know, I don't fear their running game. They can sling it, though. So it might not be that bad.
This is the first time the Patriots have not had a bye in a decade.
Do you know they've only won the Super Bowl when they've had a bye?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
They've only made it to the Super Bowl when they've had a bye. Not even one. Yeah, made it to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
So that one more game. Brady's got elbow problems. We'll see. Now, in the NFC, you have the Niners with the number one seed, thanks to the win week 17 against the Seahawks. The Packers could have been the number one seed. Do you understand that the Packers could have been the one seed?
Mm-hmm.
The Packers are the number two seed. The Saints, then the Eagles, Seahawks, and Vikings. Who do you got in the NFC? Actually, I'll go first. I made you go first in the AFC.
That's fine.
I'm going to go Saints.
Why?
Well, because, okay, if they win, they're going to play the Packers. It is going to Lambeau, but, man, Drew Brees, that offense, the defense is playing really well.
And they are humming.
I'm not scared of the Packers, right? And then the 49ers, chances are they're going to be playing the Seahawks. Maybe the Eagles or the Seahawks.
Doubt it.
Right.
The fact that Philly's getting a home game drives me insane. Fix that. There's no reason Seattle should have to travel to Philly for this game, but they do because of stupid divisions. So dumb.
Nope. It's okay. Because remember Beastquake? That was a 7-19 Seahawks team that had a home game.
And yeah, that's when
Marshawn Lynch had Beastquake. So
that was incredible, but it shouldn't happen. There's no reason. What was Philly? 9-7? 8-8?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you got to get rid of divisions. The same thing happens in the NBA.
Yeah, I agree with it. Get rid of it in the NBA, too. Keep it only for scheduling purposes. Don't make it matter for playoff seeding.
Okay. So who do you got in the NFC? I'm taking the Saints. I'm just going with Drew Brees.
These are muddy waters here.
They are.
Rodgers and Brees have been there before. So has Wilson. Who is the most I would
say. So has Wentz. Hey, Carson Wentz has been there before, too.
Yeah, on the bench. He's trash. That team's bad. So is that defense. They're not going to get past Seattle. If Chris Carson or Rashard Penny was healthy, I would say Seattle, just because I think they have the most complete team.
Marshawn's got Skittles, baby.
Marshawn's been off for 5 years, bud. No thanks.
He scored a touchdown.
Yeah, wow.
You know, it's not the Vikings because Kirk Cousins ain't going to win in a big game.
No, it's not going to be the Vikings. I would say the Saints. The Packers would probably be a close second. I don't think San Francisco has a reliable enough offense to say that they're going to get there.
if the Niners can get K-1 or Kawan Alexander back, one of their linebackers, it'll help him out a lot. He's been on the IR for a while. He's back to practice. They're trying to bring him back. They're beat up on defense a little bit, and it's kind of showing.
Well, and you don't know who's going to show up for them. It might be Mostert, like he was in Week 17. He had 2 touchdowns. You know, could be Debo. You don't know who's going to show up for them. And Jimmy G, yeah, you played behind Brady all those years, man, but you didn't play. So
all right, so we both have Saints and Ravens in the championship game.
Ravens.
In Miami, I believe. I'm taking the Saints. Drew Brees gets his second one.
I say Lamar gets his first one.
Okay, there it is.
I think it'll look bad in the first quarter, and then he'll settle down and just...
Are they going to turn the lights out again?
Nobody can cover the cheat code, man.
All righty. So, you brought this up before the show. You don't watch a whole lot of college. I don't watch a lot of college as much as Josh. Josh is the college guy.
No, I don't watch a lot of college at all.
You were talking about rookie draft, and I just want to bring this up really quick because you've probably watched one college game highlight, and it was LSU against Oklahoma.
I mean, I've been keeping track of like Joe Burrow's, the kid from Ohio State, well, both of the guys from Ohio State. Anybody that's in the Heisman voting, you know, I'll keep track of them. But other than that, not really. So,
okay. You were saying Joe Burrow's, not even outside of Superflex, is going to be your first pick. You're taking Joe Burrow's. He's in Cincinnati, and you're going to get him. You think he'll be good in Cincinnati for the first year?
Well, I also said they should trade that pick because I think they should sign Andy Dalton back cheap and get some pieces they actually need. But if they do draft Joe Burrow, I think he would be fine there. There's plenty of weapons. Mixon looked fantastic in the last half of the season. I think he's going to have a better year next year. And then I think Burrow could fit in there nicely. Do I think he should play right away? No, but I think he should be your first pick. He's as close to a sure thing as you're going to get until Trevor Lawrence comes out.
Which is next year. And right. Tua probably will make the announcement on Monday if he's coming out this year or if he's going back to Alabama. I don't see him.
Coming out with that hip injury because he won't be able to do anything at the combine. He won't be able to do anything at pro days. I think that's going to hurt his draft stock. So I think he's going to stay.
If he can clear medical, if his doctors are saying you're going to be able to clear medical for your pro day, maybe not the combine, but for your pro day.
I mean, why risk it? Go back to college for another year. Who cares?
In mocks, he's still a top 10 pick right now.
I mean, I'm sure he is, but like, dude, go back to college for another year. Like, you're the king of the castle. Like, why not?
Because do you remember Matt Leinart, who was king of the castle, came back for one more year, and then that really hurt his draft stock. Guaranteed money is guaranteed money. Yeah, he's rolling the dice.
But you're on a rookie, like you said, you're on a rookie pay scale anyway now. Matt Leinart is different.
No, you're on a rookie pay scale, but pick 1 through 10 is better than pick 32. And then if you're in the second round, you're not even guaranteed money. So if he can come out now and be pick 9, you got to take that.
Yeah. And teams will still take him even with the injury. So, I mean, I understand where you're coming from. But if I'm him, I'd play another year in college.
Because if he gets hurt again in college, he's done.
That's true. I mean, yeah.
And I know they have the insurance policies. All these players that as soon as they get mocked as a first-round pick, they go get these insurance policies. But, you know, $3 million, $30 million is a big difference.
Sure. No, I agree wholeheartedly on that. But I think he could refine his game a little bit more. I think he should.
All right. Let's go ahead. We're going to do It's New Year, New Us. You know, we got rid of all of our old friends. We
New year,
are eating better. Same we're all me. Going to the gym.
New Year, same
we're gonna
me.
Do a little. We're gonna do some New Year's resolutions for your fantasy. What we're gonna do to change in fantasy this year? Are we gonna stick to those? I don't know because they're New Year's resolutions. Does anybody stick with their resolution for a full year? Probably not.
No.
But all right, Eric. What was your first one? You had a one you were coming up with, and It was pretty
funny. Okay, I did remember one of the other ones when I was looking at the list of top running backs this year. So, but I'll go with my first one. I should not have joined a dynasty league, and I will never join a dynasty league again because I do not put the time in the offseason. Once the championship games were over, all this, there was like 35 different waiver transactions, and then people were offering me trades. If you want Zeke, you better give up a lot more than that. Not just you. Oh, you might get Shark. You might get Shark. But no, I had an offer for Zeke in one of my other leagues.
Hold on. What they offer you? I need to know what they offered you because I'm trying to get rid of Fournette over there. So I'm trying to see.
Rudolph and something else. Yeah, I was like, I don't want the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. He's good for like 2 days.
Oh, God. This isn't even tight end premium. Tight end premium maybe, but not.
Right. So either way. But I don't put the time in the offseason. Now, a keeper league, I think, would be better suited for my play and lifestyle because then I could protect three guys, but then I get to redraft, you know, something like that. Dynasty, not a great fit for me because I win championships and then I shut it down.
So I'm not going to – and that's true. You can win the championship. And in Dynasty, you don't have to – you can take that break. Right? You can say like, all right, championship game's over. I'm going to sit and wait. I'm not going to make any moves till the combine or the draft or something like that because – what's it going to matter? You're trading draft picks and stuff. Yeah, I'm trying to make moves right now. I move Kenyon Drake because I don't know where Kenyon Drake's one's going to be next year. Yeah. And two, I want some of these rookie draft picks. I'm trying to get them before these rookies get a little too hot. That's me. I'm 24/7 fantasy. I get in fantasy baseball. You are fantasy football pretty much. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. I've done baseball and basketball, and it's too much. It's like football is enough. So the other stuff, I don't know how you do it. I have other things that I prefer to do with my time, like build computers and play video games. So that's what I'm going to do. But I'll probably get waxed in Dynasty because of it.
You might not. You never know. Like I said, like you can take a few months off and then the combine comes around and you watch enough football that you might not watch the combine, but you'll get the highlights from the combine, the stuff you need to know. Like you'll be able to look at the numbers and be like, okay, that's 40 time. There's a shuttle. Sure. Like we did with DK last year and stuff like that. We don't need to see it all, right? You know, we just look at all of it. We're like, okay, cool. I don't even know what half this stuff means because the 40's there because Vince Lombardi said you run 40 yards when you do a kickoff, but all that's changed, but we love the 40.
You're right. But I also traded all my picks away in one of our leagues, so it doesn't really matter.
You did.
And so you're welcome for the either. First round pick in that league, bud.
Oh, not the first. The 1-1, baby.
The first pick in that draft.
Because some dum-dums wanted to make a rule change where they draft lottery the first pick. I would add pick 1-4. Or 1-3, I think. They want to do a draft lottery. Lotto did
if I could
one for
go
me.
Back in time, I would have voted for a complete redraft is what I should have done.
Okay. Now
I think I voted against it because I was like, no, I'll make this team good. And then I'm like, oh, crap. I should have voted for the redraft because then I could have built my own team. But whatever.
My New Year's resolution is kind of based on how my teams went this year. I am going to focus a lot more on wide receivers than running back.
Mm.
For so many years, I've been, take all the running backs, take all the running backs, take all the running backs. And yes, you look really good. But you still got to fill out a full roster.
Yep.
And it's a lot nicer starting Mike Thomas or even, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, who had a bad year. Or Tyreek Hill, who was hurt for a little bit but still had a good year. It's better starting those guys than Robbie Anderson or taking a flyer on Josh Gordon.
Yeah,
or
if you're
Antonio
in
Antonio Brown.
Oh, if you're in full point PPR, we talked about this. It's a safer option. It really is. Unless you have CMC, who you know is going to get 150 something targets, or sorry, more targets than that, way more than that.
Yeah,
no, like 150 targets. Yeah, he caught 116 balls this year,
so
he's gonna get targeted
in
a ton.
This year in PPR, Christian McCaffrey is the highest scoring player, he outscored the quarterbacks.
Yeah,
number two is Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, he had 141 targets.
Yeah, and then Michael Thomas was two. Aaron Jones somehow was three. And then Zeke, Eckler, Henry and Cook and stuff like that. Okay. Chris Godwin's still in the top 10, and he's was hurt the last like three games.
Yeah. Well, Aaron Jones is working off the backbone, the back of 19 touchdowns. 16 of those are on the ground. That's where he did so well. So,
but yeah, there are a lot of running backs up here. But if you think of the top four running backs taken this year, you had Kamara, McCaffrey, Zeke, and Zeke was a big question mark because he had the holdout going on depending on when you drafted.
Yeah, he still had a good year.
And then probably David Johnson was maybe four. Your fourth running back off the board?
Yeah, he could have been. So, sure. Who else would you have seen that early? Maybe a Le'Veon Bell. Maybe Le'Veon Bell probably went. Saquon Barkley probably in that top four. I don't know why we forgot him. He still had a good year. He was still an RB1.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He wasn't what he was last year, but.
Yeah. No.
And Leonard Fournette was a number one, but he didn't feel like it.
No. And running backs fizzle so fast. Like, I was talking to somebody about that. Like, they burn bright, and then they burn out fast. Like, if you look just 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, Todd Gurley, David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell. If you told me I could have those guys for 3 years, yeah, baby. But you're dead if you've had those guys for 3 years.
He was still a top 15 guy this year, but it's – man, he did not – I mean, he's not Todd Gurley. And we'll see if they stick to that we'll save him kind of thing since they didn't make the playoffs this year. I hope they don't, but we'll see.
I think there's more to it than just the saving it thing.
But I mean, James White was 1, 2, 3, 4 spots behind Gurley. James White. And I got him in like the 10th round. Like, so yeah, receivers are definitely going to have, and what I look for is consistent production week to week. So yeah, I think I agree with you. Lean heavily on wide receivers and PPR.
If I have a top three pick, I'm going to go running back for the top three. But after that, I'm probably going to look at getting a big name receiver.
Yeah.
Just in PPR because it's safer. Like, I know that's going to carry me. You got another New Year's resolution over there?
Yeah. Beware the Super Bowl hangover.
Okay.
Okay. So,
because you invested heavily in what team was it?
The Rams. I did. Now, granted, okay, so Gurley was 14th, at least looking at ESPN standard or ESPN PPR scoring. Cooper Kupp was 4th, and Bob Forrest was 14. So that's pretty good.
Cooper Kupp was 4, but the last half, he had a very Adam Thielen from last year's season.
I was just going to say that. He looked like Adam Thielen. So he had a great first half, did some crazy stuff, and then just fell off real hard. So
he really wasn't falling off. He just had a bad, like, right middle there where he zeroed you 8, 9.
Yeah.
He kind of got it back together, but it wasn't what you were getting in the first half, so it looked bad.
And Tyler Lockett kind of did the same thing. After he got hurt, he had one good game, and then he put up basically goose eggs for the rest of the time he was in, single digits, so.
Tyler Lockett, but he is number what, though, in wide receivers?
He is 15? 13?
He's 13 in scoring.
8, 9, 10. Yeah, 13.
And Josh's hair was riding on, what did Tyler Lockett have to be?
I think he had to be 16 Josh? Or better.
16 or better, and Josh shaves his head. So Josh will be shaving his head. We will be getting a video for that. It will be out there on the line for you all to see. We will have pictures. His wife has already graciously said she's going to make sure there's videos and pictures of it. She is not happy about it. He has to wait till after his anniversary to do it. I respect that call. You got to keep the wife somewhat happy.
Yeah, anniversary pictures. I that's fine. Yep, that's fine. Yep, as long as he pays the piper, that's fine.
Yeah, that is going to happen. Now, another New Year's resolution I have is kind of similar to what Josh said on the last podcast, and is even if you want a championship, don't get cocky with it. Do the prep you did that year to win a championship.
Yeah.
If you get cocky with it, if you get lazy, if you stare at your trophies, you look at maybe your bank accounts. I don't know if you guys are doing some illegal gambling. I don't want to say anything, you know, whatever. You know, you've been doing the trash talking at work. You're riding high. You're strutting out there. You know, you started you a fantasy podcast because you thought you were a genius, whatever you did in life.
Because you won a championship. Then you realize how dumb you actually are.
Do the homework. Do the homework. And do your own homework. Don't just rely on the hype. Yes, this year, Chris Godwin was one of the most hyped players in fantasy, and he paid off for you as the wide receiver too. But that doesn't always happen.
Yeah.
So do the homework. Look at what they're saying. Look at what stats they're looking at. Make your own decisions. You know, don't just ride with the guys that did it last year. We talked about these running backs fizzling out. And fizzling out fast.
Mm-hmm.
So stay engaged. You know, take you a couple weeks, man. Go watch some basketball. Whatever. That NFL draft, just kind of keep an eye on it. But, you know, after the NBA playoffs happen, maybe start getting back into it a little bit. You don't run a marathon by showing up that day and running it. If you do, you're Barney Stinson and you're stuck on the subway all day.
Yeah. And your legs. Because your legs don't work. Yeah. Because you just ran a marathon. Cold. Good for you, Barney.
All right, Eric, you got another New Year's resolution over there?
Sure. And just to tack on with my last one, Todd Gurley, thanks a lot for being half of what you were the last 2 years. Like, good Lord, man. So
the fact that
thanks, Sean McVay.
Half of what he was RB15 is right. Crazy.
Yeah. But. No. Yeah, RB14. My third New Year's resolution. So I talk about consistent production, safe picks, right? I want my 15 to 20 points per week, every week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got to get away from that. Did I win a title this year? Yes. However, I barely squeaked by because I did not have those boom guys. I needed to, for me, I need to take more risks.
You got lucky. Chris Carson broke his damn hip.
You're right.
If Chris Carson didn't break his damn hip.
I did get lucky. And for whatever reason, I had your number already.
Hey, and Chris Godwin popped a hammy. Got two of my two best players got hurt.
Well, I mean, I could have started I don't remember in the redraft league.
Yeah, there was some other stuff.
Yeah, it could have been crazy. But like if you look at the guys that popped off this year, Dalvin Cook, right? I would never take him normally because of his injury history. Austin Eckler. Who? There you go. Boom. Yeah. Pops off. Right. So take some risks.
Take a couple
guys.
Flyers.
Yeah. Miles Sanders was the 15th best running back in fantasy in PPR this year. Okay. I would have never imagined. So, I mean, still, you know, if you take a really safe dude, so if you get Michael Thomas in the back half of the first round and you're coming up again soon, like four picks later, maybe take a risk on a Dalvin Cook if you can get him there at 12 or whatever. So 14.
The way I personally would say to do it is do safe picks with your first 2 to 3, depending on where you're at in the draft.
Okay.
Your first 2 to 3 be safe with. Because then you know you have a safe, solid core.
Right.
Then start taking some risks. Start throwing some stuff out there. You know, the Chris Godwin, who was a 4th or 5th round pick.
Mm-hmm.
I did a Chris Godwin. I even took a flyer on Josh Gordon. You know, one of them paid off, one of them didn't. One of them died, one of them, you know, is amazing. You kind of got to, and you throw that out, throw a couple risks. Then you kind of go back, you know, then Julian Edelman sitting there in round 6 and go snatch him up. So you know you have that other wide receiver if these dudes just blow up in your face.
Yeah.
You can't go A.B. and Le'Veon Bell and what are some other big risky plays this year. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you win all that, you're going to screw your team.
I mean, I understand taking best available, but you could definitely take some risks here and there for sure.
And just remember, let's go back in time and look at the last 3 QB1s for the season. Lamar Jackson, probably undrafted or very late pick. Patrick Mahomes.
What round did you get him in?
I picked him up free agency.
There you go.
Free agency.
There you go. Well, he couldn't throw the ball last year.
Yeah. Then Patrick Mahomes the year prior. Was a late pick. He was like a round 12 or 13. Then Alex Smith the year before was free agent fodder. So those are your QB1s for the last 3 years. Now, I'm not saying that there'll be another guy to jump up at QB1, but don't waste. Don't be like, okay, I need a home run hitter. I'm taking Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson with my first round pick. What's wrong with your head?
I'm looking at the the QB scoring. Jared Goff is 14th. Get out of here. You were trash all year. Oh. How are you 14th in scoring?
Oh,
beware
did we
the Super Bowl hangup.
We didn't talk about it. We didn't talk about one. QB 5 on the season.
Jameis, baby.
We didn't talk. He is the only quarterback in history. This is the last thing we're going to talk about, and then we'll go because this is running a little longer. We're having a little fun with it. Just BSing.
Five thousand yards, man. 5,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, 30 INTs. He's the only one to ever do it. Crazy.
Jameis went. He made his own 30 for 30.
Yeah, go get some crab legs.
Bruce Arians post game
celebrate.
Bruce Arians post game press conference did not sound too good because they asked him about Jameis Winston's future, and he said, "Yeah, we can win with another guy. We can win with the guy we have." It didn't sound that good. Because Jameis' press conference the day prior was, I'm out here balling, 5,000 yards, 33 touchdowns. He didn't say his interceptions. You forgot his 5 fumbles as well on top of his 30 interceptions.
Yep, I'm looking at that now. That's pretty bad.
Yeah. So he's been bad about turning it over. Bruce Arians made that defense pretty well, pretty good. So I'm thinking they're going to go away from that. And we'll see what happens there.
So, like you said, he does love those Cincy QBs. So you think he probably tries to go get Andy Dalton then? A little safer?
If Andy Dalton's cheap, I don't know. He might draft a guy. I don't know exactly what he wants to do.
Well, he probably would love to. Well, where are they picking, though? Do you know? I don't know what the draft
is. It's not bad. I can't remember where it's at. But I think they have other needs to fill. I don't think they're going to draft a quarterback in the first round. And Bruce Arians doesn't have a great history of drafting quarterbacks. All those years Carson Palmer got hurt. I see them going to try to get a veteran on the cheap.
They're 14th.
Yeah.
You think they mortgage their future and try to get Joe Burrow?
No, they're not. They're not going to do anything like crazy like that. I think they're going to, you know, they go and just see what happens. Maybe kick the tires on Nick Foles coming over.
because of the regime change there. Yeah, right. Tom Coughlin is gone. Yeah, it could happen.
Regime change is gone. Gardner Minshew's there. Foles has a big contract. They're going to have a lot of money freed up. I don't know what's going to happen. We'll see what happens with that. I could see them moving on.
How many years do I have to see the Cowboys pick in the middle of the first round at 8-8? I hate it. I can't wait for them to either tear it all down or figure it out because it's insane. It's insane. Every year, they are literally the definition of mediocrity. You look it up in Webster's, there's a picture of the Cowboys right there next to mediocre. Golly.
Is it just Jason Garrett clapping his hands?
It should be. Oh my goodness.
Jimmy Johnson's out fishing on his boat during Christmas time. So
yeah. 2-time Super Bowl winning coach.
Sorry to roll back to the Jameis Winston thing. Winston threw 30 interceptions this year. In the last 4 seasons, Aaron Rodgers has thrown 26 interceptions, so just think about that.
That makes sense. That makes total sense. And Tommy B, he was a Tom Brady was a QB1 again this year. Jeez Louise.
And this is 4 point per touchdown. If we change it over to 6 point per touchdown, I think it'd be a lot different.
Sure. Absolutely. But.
All right. Let's get out of here and have some fun. Thanks for listening to Empty Wagon Fantasy Football Podcast. It's been Brad and Eric here. Josh will be back with us. We're going to come back probably once a week. There'll probably be some changes in the future this offseason with how we're doing the show due to scheduling conflicts coming up. But remember to check us out on Empty Wagon FF at Gunsfeld 19.
Very good.
Yeah, at Tack Jones. And hit up at FF Josh Hughes and ask him if he can find himself a clean house or if he's living in a van down by the river.
Yeah, and we'll be sure to post those pictures. Don't worry. We'll make sure they're out there.
Oh, don't worry. They're going viral.
Say bye to your hair, Josh.
Later.
Later.